Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Mark chapter 7. And I'm finishing up my short little series that I've been doing on the unique nature of some of the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ, and specifically three that are recorded in the Gospels, in which the Lord spat and used His spittle in the healing of three different individuals. And we're looking at the last of these in Mark chapter 7. And I want to begin reading at verse 31, read through the end of the chapter. "And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came into the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis." Now remember, please, if you're in geography, if you want to look in your map in the back of your Bible, you will see that this is not in Jewish territory. This is in Gentile territory. And he is ministering to non-Jews. I've always struggled in the past when I've read dispensationalists that Jesus strictly ministered to the Jew. Is that true? No. And why do they go so far in that? And mostly ultra-dispensationalists said his ministry was strictly to the Jew. He ministered to no other people but the Jew. But they're Gentiles that he's ministering to here. In Decapolis, the 10 cities of a Gentile region. And he's ministering to them and he's performing miracles. Let that soak in for just a moment. One dispensationalist said, "Oh, these are just token miracles." I don't know of a token miracle, do you? Now, I'm a dispensationalist, but I love the Bible and I just want the Bible to say what it says without me having to bring all my lens into it and try to interpret it through my... No, just let the Bible say what it's going to say. Amen? And when you start saying things like, "Jesus never ministered to the Gentiles, Jesus only ministered," you're lying. You're not telling the truth, or you're just plain ignorant. All right? So I'm putting that out there because I want you to be a biblicist. Amen? I want you to be a biblicist. Just let the Bible speak. He was in Gentile country and is ministering to Gentiles. And I'm glad. I'm thankful because I'm not a Jew. And my Lord was concerned about everybody. And the care that we see in this Gentile region in chapter 7 and 8 that he gave and the miracles that he performed showed his intense love for the Gentile. And don't ever let that be lost in the fog of theories and interpretations that people love to bring to the Bible. Just let the Bible, don't bring your interpretation to the Bible. You let the Bible be interpreted to you through the Holy Spirit of God. It'll save you from getting into all kinds of trouble, getting into all kinds of false ideas about the Bible. And so our Lord was in Gentile area, verse 32, and they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude. This was a Gentile. He takes him away from the multitude to perform a miracle. Why did he do that? He was not there to embarrass anybody. He was there to minister individually. When I was saved in 1978, the Spirit of God dealt individually with me. He dealt with my soul. He dealt with my sin. The salvation of Jesus Christ is a very personal thing. It's not group mentality. It's individual. And he pulls this man aside from the multitude, we're told, and he takes him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue and looked up to heaven. And we looked at this last time. He sighed. By the way, that's the only time that appears in the Gospels, that one reference there. He sighed and saith unto him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." By the way, that's not Greek, that's not Hebrew, that's Aramaic. That was the language of that region. He used their language to reach this individual. I have seen this so many times in the Bible. I see it in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, where the Lord ministered to thousands of souls and they heard the gospel in their own what? Language. That's the kind of God we serve. He wants the gospel to be heard in their heart language. He goes to all that trouble on Pentecost to minister to all these Jewish people that are gathered there from all over the world to come in to Jerusalem. And they speak all these different languages because they've been raised in other countries. And they hear the gospel in their own tongue. We see that pictured. It is not a fool's errand to seek to try to translate the Bible into other languages. Because that's what the Lord did. He spoke to these Gentiles in their native tongue. And to this man, be loosed. All right? Be loosed from the tightness that was in his mouth where he could not speak clearly. And he spake plain, the Bible says. Verse 36, and he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. That's the kind of Lord that we serve. Father, help us to understand your word tonight, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I just share with you a few more thoughts here on this passage of Scripture as we close out this study. Jesus' words are powerful. Are his words powerful still? Yes, they are. Because they are empowered by the Spirit of God who gave us the Bible. The pen of inspiration is made possible through the Holy Spirit of God. So God's words have power. Be careful that you... I remember in college, I heard this so many times, when you're witnessing to somebody, always begin with your testimony. Now, it's wonderful that you've been saved by grace. And it's all right to share that. But don't think your testimony is going to save sinners. My testimony has never saved one sinner. But Jesus' testimony has saved all sinners that have called upon his name. It didn't say call upon the name of Todd Brainerd. It said call upon the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved. There's power in the Scripture. And so you should saturate your witnessing. Bring them back constantly to the Word because it's the Word that has power. And his words had power. He sighed and he said, be loosed. And immediately he began to speak plainly. My dad and I were talking about this. Here was a man that had never spoken clearly in his entire life. I had a barber growing up who was, because he was deaf, could not speak. He was both deaf and dumb. And he was fluent in sign language, and he would sit there and make noises to us. He would always smile, and when we finished our haircut, which was usually pretty quick, because our hair usually didn't get a chance to grow much taller than about a quarter of an inch, and so it was a buzz session, and he would always reach into his pocket. You'd see him reaching into his pocket and smiles came on our faces. He was giving us a quarter to go over there to put in the gumball machine. All right? How many of you loved gumball machines growing up? Anybody? Right. Some of you don't have any idea what I'm talking about. Some of these places have these huge gumball machines where it goes around in a big circle. You know, and it comes, they have to get down on the floor to get down low enough to get it out. Well, this one was not. All right, it was up high, and you would turn it, and you got three for a quarter. All right, so you put your hand up there, and you turn that thing, and he would be smiling, and you just go here, That's all he could do. And I know we had conversations growing up. Said, man, my heart hurts that he can't talk to us. He's such a nice man. And I will never forget going to his funeral when he passed away, because all those memories came flooding back of our childhood We used to walk to get our haircuts or ride our bicycles down there. And he had huge hands. I had a tiny head. And they would pull out the pink gel, all right? That was for flat tops. For those of you who don't know what a flat top, go Google it, all right? It was to turn the hair up in the front. Bill, did you ever have a flat top? Yeah. We had flat tops when we were kids. And he would take that pink gel, which all we thought was pig lard, and it was colored pink. No, it wasn't that. But I remember him grabbing up a scoopful, putting it in his hands like this, and then he would just go right under the head. And I remember your head was going all over the place, you know, those big hands. And then he would start turning up the front, all right? Here was a man that spent his whole life, the way he made money was cutting people's hair. He was made fun of. Mr. Moore told us stories about it, his childhood being made fun of and poked fun of because he couldn't speak. People are cruel. And here was a man that Jesus took him aside. A Gentile. For those that are deniers. Okay. He took a Gentile aside, away from the multitude. And the Bible says that he stuck his fingers in his ears. And then he spit. And he put it onto the tongue of this man. And immediately he spoke plainly. He could hear and he could talk, and he didn't have to go to school to learn how to do it. Now, folks, these thoughts here, the power of God's Word is manifested here. Very important for us to see. Number one, this healing is a parable of what Jesus will do for those who repent and believe. This is what Jesus does. He takes blind, deaf, dumb sinners, and he changes them, and he makes them new creatures in Christ Jesus, whereby old things are passed away and all things are become new. I still believe in that kind of a gospel. My heart breaks when I see people that are living in the world and trying to be just like the world and dress like the world and talk like the world and be like the world. The gospel of Jesus Christ transforms you, makes you a new creature where you don't want to be like the world anymore. You don't want to be in Satan's kingdom anymore. You want to be in God's kingdom. We've got this weak, wishy-washy gospel today that if someone says, well, I believe on Jesus, oh, they're saved. You can't question that. I've had people tell me that. I had a boy in chapel misbehaving. Happened to be an employee's child, and I called him down in chapel and I said, sit up and stop talking. And he mouthed back to me. And I said, I'll see you after chapel. I went to his dad and I told him, I said, your son was misbehaving in chapel. I called him down to stop talking. He talked back to me and so forth. Well, anyway, this thing began to grow. Because this boy went and was talking to his friends about they were going to plan another disruption in chapel for the next chapel service. So I found out about it. I got a hold of the parents. I said, I don't know what's going on, but we got to get it stopped. Will you help me? And one of the fathers that I talked to was an assistant pastor over in Pensacola. And he said, why are you bothering me with this? And I said, because chapel time is where we hear God's Word. We want to hear God's Word. You can't hear God's Word if you're talking. You can't hear God's Word if you're playing. That's the last thing on your mind. You're playing, you're talking, you're not listening. And I said, it's very disruptive to a preacher that's trying to preach when you got something going on. That's why I'm calling you. And this is it. Are you questioning my son's salvation? And I said, now you've heard every word out of my mouth. Did I say that? Well, you're implying that. You're implying that. I said, sir, I'm letting you know that he's been conversing, and I've got several sources behind this. I want to make sure it doesn't happen. All right. Don't ever imply that my son is not saved. That boy grew up and ended up in prison. Very sad story. Gun possession, charges, drugs, all kinds of stuff. The boy! Don't imply that he's not saved. I still believe in a gospel that transforms hearts and changes lives. And by the way, so does Jesus, because it's His gospel. I'm tired of us patting people on the back and making them feel so good about their sin and their wicked lifestyle and their attitudes that are raunchy and say, oh, you made a profession of faith. You're a child of God. I would be questioned and say, you know what? Something's not right here. And pray for them. And be a witness and testimony to them. I've had so many young people come back to this school and tell me, Mr. Brainerd, I know I made professions of faith, but I didn't get it settled until after I got out of high school. Young people that have told me, I got saved for sure. But they were the great pretenders during school. The message of this passage of Scripture is that Jesus will do the same for His followers as He did for this man. The Lord will pull you aside and He will make you new. There's another thought here that I want you to see, and that is this. Notice, please, verse 37, and were beyond measure astonished. He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. I want you to know something, that one day we're going to be delivered from this body of death. You know why? Because Jesus does all things well. Jesus gets blamed for a lot, does He not? All of our problems that come along, I can't believe the Lord allowed this to happen in my life. Well, maybe He's trying to make you more dependent on Him. Maybe you're going your own way. And maybe you need to be drawn back closer to Him so He can work. God always has a purpose in everything that happens in our lives. Amen? He always has a purpose. He always has a plan. He always knows what's best for us. These people looked at His miracle with this Gentile man, and they were astonished because He did all things well. We're not done yet. Amen? Well, we're living in a chaotic world right now where we've got two systems of justice, where people who do criminal acts, they're allowed to do that stuff. Somebody else does it, we just throw the book at them. The D.C. system today that came out and said there was an investigative work that was done of the D.C. police about how they policed during all the riots that took place in Washington, D.C., and guess what? They found the anarchists, Antifa, were not punished. But Christians that protested on the right to life were treated and mishandled terribly. And they came out and said, it looks like there's two different ways of dealing with people. Peaceful protesters, abused, they were arrested. Non-peaceful people, violent people, were let go. You do whatever you want to do. All right? That's the world we live in. But I want you to know something. Your Savior, the one who saved your soul, does all things well. And He's not done. We have a wonderful future ahead of us. One of these days, we're all going to meet together. I've already asked the Lord that if He would allow us at Grace Bible Church to be able just to get together and as one group, just all together, praise the Lord as one unit, as we did here. We'll be much better in tune, right? We won't have any wrong notes. We won't have any squeaky voices. We won't have any scratchy voices. We will have redeemed voices. And I just think it'd be good for us to get together and just sing His praises for what He did for us, because He does all things well. Do I do all things well? Oh, no. I fail, you fail, but Jesus never fails. All right? And so keep that second thought in mind. The response of the Gentiles was that they were first astonished. Here's a Jew that has helped one of ours and healed him. They all knew him. The man who was both deaf and dumb, they all knew him. And Jesus took him aside, and when he came back with him to the multitude, he could hear and he could speak. He hath done all things well. Don't ever let anybody run down your Savior. You fight, if you need to uphold the name of your Savior. Don't let anybody in your presence run down our Savior. You stand up for Him. Would you do that for your wife if somebody was running her down? Or your children? Would you stand up for them? Well, how about us standing up for Jesus? Because He does all things well. We fail miserably, but He never fails. And so I want to encourage you with these wonderful events. These are not parables. These are actual events. Amen? Actual events of people redeemed, people healed. And one day, we're all going to be healed. We're all going to stand in the Lord's presence. All those that we love that have gone on before us, having died from all kinds of diseases and heart failure and tumors and strokes and all that stuff, will all be in our new bodies. Why? Because Jesus does all things well. Father in heaven, I pray that You would work in our hearts. Sometimes we don't realize and we don't think about enough and we don't meditate enough on the truth that You're all-powerful. Your words in Your Bible are not something that we can just pick and choose like a salad bar. Your words are powerful. They're sharper than any two-edged sword. They pierce even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And Lord, I pray that we might honor Thy Word and that we might honor Your Son, Jesus Christ, who does all things well. Help us, dear Father, not to get careless and foolish when it comes to the truth that we have. May we hold it dear to our hearts and may we proclaim it on the rooftops that Jesus does all things well. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.